idea, well, that's just for lost people, but I tell you, a lot of times God's people push him out, won't let him in, but he sure would like to be in there, and I hope you'll let him in, that's for sure. Take your Bible tonight, Jeremiah chapter 7, and if you can listen while you turn there, I want to read to you. I've been meaning to do this, and I keep forgetting to do it. It's several weeks ago, Reagan Mahaney's birthday. Well, and remember, if you were here that service, we had everybody turn around and we sang happy birthday to Reagan. That night, Brother Drew sent me this text. He said, thank you for making today special for Reagan. He was waving back at everyone and loved it. So that was a blessing to him. And I want you to pray for the Mahaneys. The Lord's making a change and a direction of what's going on. Their church voted today for what was us would have been yesterday. But yesterday for us was today for them. All right. Are you confused? Okay, but anyway, their church voted unanimously to move the church a little bit. I don't know exactly how far, but move it a little bit of distance and call Andrew, who has been working with Brother Mahaney, there at that church, to call him to pastor the church. And so that's going to be taking place. So pray about that transition, if you would. I remember talking to Brother Mahaney over the time span since he's been there. He told me at one time, I talked to him, and he said, Andrew said, I don't want to do anything but just be the administrator and do the translating. Don't ask me to do anything else. That's it. That's all I want to do. Even they started trying to go out and knock doors, and he said, Brother Mahaney called me and said, what do I do? He doesn't want to do that. And I said, well, we're going to pray. But God's done a work and spoken to him, his heart, and so he's going to take the church and pastor it, and so the Lord's going to move Brother and Ms. Mahaney. You said, where? Not sure just yet, all right? Want you to pray for them, all right? Want you to pray for them about that situation. All right, Jeremiah chapter 7. Everybody there? Look at verse 23. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. Amen. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. I want you to remember that. The Bible said they didn't do what the Lord said. Instead, they went backward rather than forward, okay? Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt, unto this day I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearken not unto me, nor incline their ear, but hardened their necks, they did worse than their fathers. Make note of that, will you? Amen. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and cut off from their mouth. Now, in warfare, we hear of this thing called collateral damage. And there is always going to be. And the idea is that during bombing or during a firefight, sometimes there are casualties that were not the intended target. They were not what was hoped for. And sometimes it involves buildings, things like that, and structural damage. But sometimes that so-called collateral damage means that innocent lives are lost, and it takes that innocent life. What we need to remember is this: all actions have consequences. Amen. All actions have consequences of sometimes. Sometimes those consequences are intended, and it's okay. But sometimes those consequences are not intended, but they still happen. Whether you meant for it to happen or not, it happens. And many times those unintended consequences are devastating. Devastating. And that's kind of the situation that I want to preach to you about tonight. Because in our text tonight, we have a story of disobedience and its consequence. I want you to go back to verse 1 in chapter 7, would you? I want you to follow along. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word, and say, Hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Amen. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if ye truly amend your ways and your doings, if ye truly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if ye oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Amen. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit." Amen. This chapter, I want you to see, this chapter begins with an appeal for these folks to get right. Jeremiah is appealing to them because of the word of the Lord that they would get right. They would make things right with God, and they would not only get right, but they would then proceed to do right. But instead, verse 8 said they trusted in lying words. They trusted in lying words. You say, well, what's the problem? Well, look at verse 13. "And now because ye have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking not, but ye heard not, and I called you, but ye answered not." He said they didn't hear, and they didn't answer. They didn't hear, and they didn't answer. But it went worse than that. Look at verse 18. "Now the children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the queen of heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger." Hey, they provoke the Lord to anger by their action, all right? Verse 23, we read this, but I want to read it again. "But this thing commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But," here we go, "they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward." Hey, folks, I want you to see, disobedience became their life. We talk about lifestyle. The lifestyle of God's people became disobedience, to the point that they were no longer going forward, but they were going backward. They were getting further and further away from God. And I want you to notice the result. Verse 28, the Bible says, "Truth is perished." Amen. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. Hey, there's a casualty that results from casual, continual disobedience. Amen. Now, let me explain. I want to be sure you understand what I'm talking about tonight. I believe we get into this rut, we get into this life, that we begin to disobey God. And we do it sort of on a casual method, maybe not a planned thing, but just casually we begin to disobey what God has said. Now, we don't start out with the major, as the world would look at it, major things, you know, but it starts out on a small scale, and we begin to disobey God. It's just a casual thing, but it becomes chronic. It becomes constant. It becomes a consistent disobedience to God. And I say to you, when that happens, after a while, truth is lost. Truth is lost because it dies. That was true in Jeremiah's day, and boy, do I see it as true in our day. I just want to give you a few specifics and then talk to you about a little bit about what we need to do. Go back to Genesis chapter 2, would you? Genesis chapter 2. You see, we've lost the truth of marriage in this day. Amen. We have lost the truth of marriage in our day. Genesis chapter 2, if you will, verse 21. "And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his, what's that next word?
Wife,
all right? And they shall be one flesh. One flesh. Listen, that's God's plan.
Amen.
That's God's directive.
Yes, sir.
Plain and simple. Male and female created he them, all right?
Amen.
And he brought the woman to Adam, and really, he said, this is for, she's for you, and you're for her, and y'all are going to be married, and this is what my plan is for man. Plain and simple. It's pretty easy. It was real easy for Adam to figure out. He looked around and said, yep, you're the one for me. Because you're the only one, all right?
Amen.
He didn't have to go down, flip a coin, choosing, you know. And he said, you're the one. And he was happy. And Eve was happy. Man, it was a wonderful situation. But here's the problem. Men have been disobeying God's command regarding the physical relationship between men and women for centuries. Been disregarding it, all right? I submit to you it got exponentially worse in the last 60 to 70 years. Or maybe I should say 50 to 60 years. It's just got exponentially worse. Adultery and fornication are not new. They're not new. They dealt with the problem all through the scriptures and all time period. There's been problems. But man, I believe in my lifetime, men have taken it to a new depth. All right? Taking it to a new depth. I look back and remember as a teenager a thing called Woodstock. And I'm not talking about the comic character in Peanuts, all right? I mean that time when that great host descended in that place in New York State and they had a rock concert for days. And I mean, hey, it brought out all the wickedness right out in the open. I mean, right there, put it out there. But it became a point where it's gone on so much, we just kind of smirk at it. Now, I'm not talking about you and me as Bible-believing people. Originally, we didn't do it. But the world got to the point where they began to smirk at it, think nothing of it. And that type of disobedience has led to our current status.
Amen.
Over time, as more and more that disobedience went on, and it's become accepted. Hey, it's become accepted in churches.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I wish this wasn't true, but it has. It's become accepted in churches. And we see this kind of thing going on. And how far has it got? Well, it's gotten to this point that man has decided he can pass a law and negate the law of God.
That's exactly right. Yes, sir.
So in the halls of Congress, we've had laws passed, and it happened in states too, that saying, hey, marriage between two women is okay.
Yeah.
Or marriage between two men is okay.
Right.
And we've seen that stamp of approval put upon something that God said, that's not it. That is not it, all right? The sanctity of marriage has been lost. The sanctity of marriage has been lost. That's why multitudes, hey, listen, it's not even sniffed at in Hollywood. We don't even think anything about it. People, we read it on the rags, and the people that consume that kind of garbage, they see it. They watch those Entertainment Tonight shows and all that stuff, and this person's living with this one, and they've swapped partners with so-and-so, and this one's been married for 5 years, but now it's all been called off. We've ended that because we've fallen in love with somebody else. That crowd doesn't even know what marriage and what love is. The sanctity of marriage has been lost to the extent that so many people today don't even bother to marry. We don't even bother to marry. Doesn't happen, okay? The sanctity of marriage has been lost. Hey, the security of marriage is gone. I've said this for years, that ladies, the people that suffer in that deal is always the women.
Oh, yes.
You stand to be victimized You stand to be used in that situation all the time. I have dealt with I've dealt with people, and I said, "Man, quit letting people use you. Stop. You're wrong. Get right with God. Do it the way God said to do it." Security of marriage is gone. Hey, I'll be honest with you. At the social definition of marriage, we've lost it. I'll never forget watching a TV show that I used to enjoy watching, and they have this character come in, this man, a male character comes in, and he says, "What's happened to my husband?" And I go, "Run that by me one more time." Hey, we've lost the whole definition of marriage. We don't even know what it is today, all right? You say, how did that truth get lost? Because we started disobeying God.
That's it. Amen.
We just started disobeying God.
Amen.
We've started disobeying God now to this extent. I read a statistic this last week that said 70% of the United States now believe that marriage between same-sex couples is okay. 70%. That is a huge swing in less than 20 years. Huge swing. Less than 20 years. Where did we get that idea? Well, the truth got lost. The truth got lost because we started disobeying God. We started ignoring what God said. We just kind of filed along. Now, you say, "Preacher, that's never going to happen right here." Wait a minute. It's happening. It's happening. It's not something we're talking about that could happen. We're talking about something that's already happened. We don't even understand anymore. We've lost the whole truth of marriage. It's gone. Why? Because people started disobeying God. It became a casual thing. It became a consistent thing. And before long, we don't want anything to do with it. Let me give you an illustration, you know, of exactly again what I'm talking about. As more and more drug use became common, what did you hear the people began to say? Well, let's legalize it.
That's right.
Right? Let's legalize it. I mean, hey, it's happening anyway, so let's just legalize all this drug use. Let's make it legal to do it, and then we don't have the problem. Well, what's going on? Hey, we've lost the truth. The truth has been lost. That's not all. Go into Romans chapter 1, would you? Romans chapter 1. I just want you to see the scripture and give you a couple more illustrations. This is what happens when you get in a situation where people begin to sin and we accept it. We quit making a big deal, if you will, out of it. We quit saying anything about it. And it becomes consistent. It happens a lot. Pretty soon, we forget and we lose the truth, all right? Look, if you will, in verse 25, Romans chapter 1. The Bible says in verse 25, "Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Now go back to verse 21. "Because that when they knew God." Wait a minute, you got it? They knew God. They knew God. "But they glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Hey, I want to tell you this. God has a rightful place, all right? God has a rightful place. But man got disobedient in this matter too. Man began to disobey God, and we began to lower God. We began to bring Him down to the level of man. And really, we got to where we worship men as much as we worship God. Man, people today are nuts over entertainers. Over sports figures, we go on and on. They follow them on social media, you know. I mean, we've taken the Lord's Day and given it to them.
Amen.
Amen. The greatest sports day in the United States is Sunday.
Right.
Sunday. Hey, wait a minute. I remember, I get in trouble here, okay, but I can remember when you never saw a college ball game on Sunday.
Amen.
Never.
Amen.
Never saw a college ball game on. And I guarantee you, There were no Little League games on Sunday.
Right.
There were no kids playing ball on Sunday.
Nope.
You say, preacher, what happened? We just started thinking, well, it's okay.
That's right.
It's okay, all right? It's okay. We're just going to change this deal. But see, God no longer had his rightful place. He didn't have his rightful place. So what happened? Verse 23, they changed the glory of uncorruptible God unto an image made like to corruptible man.
Right.
We changed God, all right? We got to the point where we just thought, hey, we've lost the truth of who God is. We've lost the truth about his attributes. We've brought God down to a level where we are. And as the Bible said in that verse we read a moment ago, we no longer serve the Creator, we serve the creature.
Amen.
We don't worship the Creator, we worship man. That's where the focus is. The focus is on man. It's not on God anymore. Hey, we've made God into a being like ourselves. We've humanized God and deified man. We've forgotten he's a holy God. He's a just God. He's a God who demands payment for sin. He's a God who, the Bible said in Nahum 1:3, will not at all acquit the wicked. He will not do that. But we've lost that truth. We've lost that truth because man has decided God understands my sin. God understands my sin. You know, I think we've twisted the whole thing about Jesus becoming man. And now we've got the idea, well, he became man so he could be like one of us and understand us, and therefore we're sort of all
right.
Because God understands. And he understands our sin, and he'll overlook it. He'll overlook it. I can't begin to tell you how many conversations I've listened to, and I like to get in the place where people are talking about this kind of thing and just shut my mouth and listen. Because you begin to hear, hey, wait a minute, I'm not talking about people that never went to church. I'm talking about people that grew up in church. And in many cases grew up in a good Bible-preaching church. But you begin to hear them speak, and what they're saying is so contrary to what the Word of God says.
Right.
And it all relates to the image we've gotten of God.
Right.
We no longer respect his holiness, all right? We no longer respect he's a just God. As far as the world is concerned, he's a God of love, and that's it.
Right. Yes, sir.
That's it. And his love overrides everything. And because he just loves everything and everybody, he understands my sin. He will overlook it, and I'm sure he'll let me into heaven. Now, if you've never heard people saying stuff like that, you either live in a sheltered world or you hadn't been listening, all
right?
Because people are saying just that kind of thing. You say, what happened? The truth of God has been lost. Why? Because we got used to sin. The truth is we get used to sin, and we like it, and then when somebody comes and points out our sin, we try to use the Bible to defend it. We say, wait a minute, judge not! Judge not, that ye be not judged! Who are you to judge me? Man, we don't have to judge him. We just take the book. Here it is. Here it is. But hey, we've lost that. How did we lose that truth? Because we got into sin. We got into sin. We got into doing things we shouldn't do. We got into doing things a Christian has no business doing. Hey, in years past, a lost man wouldn't be involved in it.
Amen.
A lost man that had morals wouldn't be involved in it. And today we've got people named the name of Christ that are involved in it. We've gotten used to it. So what happens? Truth is lost. Truth dies. Truth dies. Let me give you another one, all right? Let me give you. Go back to Jeremiah chapter 7, would you? Go back to Jeremiah chapter 7. I want you to see what's going on, because I want you to understand it's important that we grasp. If you're like me, surely at some point in time, in the last number of years, you have said, what in the world's going on? How could this be? How could this be? I'll be honest with you. When they start talking about the same-sex marriage and everything, I'm going, what?
Yes, sir.
What are you talking about? And now,
right.
Now we're being told, hey, it's in that sword of the Lord back there. I told you need to pick it up. In the sword of the Lord, there's a fellow that said there's at least six genders. At least six. Now, what kind of... I have to be so careful. I don't use the word that I want to use. It's not vile or anything, but it's sure not approved of today. And what kind of moron can come up with that kind of statement?
Yes, sir.
Well, it's somebody that's gone to college somewhere and listened to an ungodly, lost professor feed them a line of bull. And they believed it. They believed it. Hey, listen. We've listened to that. We've gotten used to it. And we've decided, yeah, it's okay. Man, I'm looking at it and going, you got to be kidding.
Right.
You got to be kidding. And here's a person said, well, I've decided that what's the term? Non-binary. You're what? Non-binary. In other words, you know, I'm not either one, and it fluctuates from day to day. It's whether I'm male or female or something else. Hey, look, we have got almost mass mental illness. You say, where'd that come from? Sin. We get in. Listen, I want to warn you, okay? I want to warn you. Same thing can happen to you as happened to a multitude of other people. I wish we could say, no, we're immune, but we're not. We're not. Listen, I've known of good churches that have gone off the deep end.
Amen.
Gone off the deep end. Why? Because we got to where we approved sin. We didn't stand against it. We let it go. We tolerate it. And before long, we're not just tolerating it. We're approving it. We're participating in it. And what happens? Truth dies.
Amen.
Truth dies. Look, if you will, in verse 28, Jeremiah chapter 7. You there? But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Hey, you know what we've lost? We've lost the truth of God's word.
Amen.
We have absolutely lost the truth of God's word. In Jeremiah's day, they ignored what God said and went after their own devices, their own ideas. So what was the result? Truth perished. Truth perished. Remember, they went backwards, not forward.
Amen.
Remember, they did worse than their fathers.
Right.
It got worse, didn't get better, all right? Amen. Hey, can you just stop and think, where do you find truth today in this world?
Yeah.
We can't count on it from our leaders.
No.
We cannot count on it from our leaders. They will spew out stuff that is not even remotely close
Amen.
To truth. We definitely can't count on it from the news media.
Nope.
You, folks, I hope you understand. You cannot believe those news commentators.
Right.
You can't believe what they say. And by the way, this is not a Trump thing or an anti-Trump thing. I mean, it's just become this way in recent years. You can't believe anything they tell you, all right? You can't count on it from business leaders. You can't count on them to tell you the truth. The saddest thing of all, you can't count on it from the lips of religious leaders or the pulpits in the land today. Because we've departed from the truth. Man, today you can go to many, many churches and what you will hear is a social gospel. You will never hear somebody preaching against sin. You will have somebody giving you a positive message, patting you on the back and telling you, man, it's all right, you can be okay. You can be your best you now. You can just exercise a little possibility thinking, and it'll amaze you what will happen, and it'll all be wonderful, and we can all sing kumbaya together, all right? Wait a minute. People still dying and going to hell. People still dying and going to hell. They want to say what people want to hear so they can retain the power they have. It's amazing. There's a lot of encouragement today for societal change and betterment. You know, we need to change society. hesitate to say this. People may hear this, who knows, and I know it can be twisted and brought against me with everything, but everything in our day is laid to race, and it's said that's the problem with everything. And well, wait a minute. The greatest thing to change the racial problem in our country is if people get born again.
Amen.
Nothing would change it like that would change it.
Amen.
Not a thing in the world, all right? But we live in a day where it's gone from thus saith the Lord to maybe thus suggesteth somebody, all right?
Right.
We don't have that firmness. We've lost the fact that the Bible's true.
Amen.
We've lost the fact the Bible's true. The Word of God is not just the conjecture of man. It is not just the comment of men. It is not just the command of man. Men did not sit down and say, I think I will write something that will last for centuries and will be used to control the population of the world. No, that's not what happened. Hey, but this old book, it can sure confound man. And it can sure confuse them. And it'll definitely condemn them in their sin, because it is the command of God. But we've lost that. You say, preacher, we still believe that. Well, wait a minute. I know we do, but do you realize what kind of minority you're in? The greatest minority in the world today is independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist people.
Right.
We're in a huge minority, all right? And we've seen it given in. I'll tell you, you know, you see churches taking the name off their church and changing what they preach, changing their whole service. It becomes an entertainment session and a feel-good kind of thing. Hey, we've gotten away from preaching the Word of God. And because we've departed from the Word of God, we're living in a time when there are no absolutes. No absolutes. No final authority. Well, that may be fine for you. But now, I believe this. And what's right for me may not be right for you. And what's right for you may not be right for me. I've heard people make that insane statement. Insane statement. You know, we could say, well, okay, when is it ever right to kill a baby? Now they can justify it. Hey, they justify it before they're born. They justify it after they're born today. Crazy. We've had lawmaking bodies pass laws that say if a baby survives an abortion and they're living, they're viable, you can let them lay there and die. Nothing wrong with that. Now to me, I can't believe it's just more than I can almost take. How could you get to that point? Hey, men today waver back and forth without a definite direction, without an established goal. They're shooting at nothing, and they're hitting it every time. Why? We've rejected the truth of the Word of God. We've lost that truth. We've lost that truth. And today, when you talk to somebody, and a lot of times if you try to take the Word of God, they'll dismiss it immediately. Why? Well, we've lost respect for the truth. We no longer defer to the truth, but everybody decides on his own. Everybody decides on his own. You decide. You decide. Hey, let's get together and vote. Let's just get together and vote. Here's a child that's born, and it's got some developmental problems. Let's vote. What do you think? They're never going to have the quality of life you and I have. What do you think? We just kill them? Now, that would be repulsive to you and I.
Oh, yes, right.
I hope.
Amen.
It would be repulsive to you and me. But there's a lot of places in this country that's done.
Yes, right.
Let's just get rid of them. Let's just get rid of them. We're talking about their quality of life. And we're just, I mean, there you go, they're gone. What a thing to do, all right? Why? We've lost respect for the truth. We've lost regard for the truth. People no longer listen to it because they think they can do without its influence.
Right.
Oh, that book was written a long time ago, that old, outdated stuff. We've lost respect. We've lost regard for the truth of God. Hey, We not only that, we've lost the report of the truth. You don't hear it much. You don't hear it much anymore. In the popular world, it's avoided because it's inconvenient. And it doesn't fit into the worldview that's being developed. Doesn't fit. So we're going to just exit out, all right? We'll destroy that truth. Just destroy it. Hey, folks, listen. I'm not just talking in the secular world. I'm talking in the religious world. In the religious world, religious organizations are too busy today apologizing for what happened in the past instead of preaching the truth of the Bible in the present. Man, what we need is preaching of the Word of God. We need the preaching of this book, all right? Truth not even reported in most churches. You realize you could have gone to a multitude of churches in Tarrant County today and never heard the Bible hardly even referred to? Hardly even referred to. Now that's mind-boggling to me. Absolutely mind-boggling. But it's so true, all right? Why? Because we got to a time where the preaching of the Word of God exposes sin, all right? It exposes sin. Well, if it exposes sin, it makes people uncomfortable. Makes people uncomfortable. We live in a time where, hey, we don't want to do that, all right? So many are afraid to preach the Word of God because we fear man. We fear a loss of revenue, okay? We want acceptance in the world. We want acceptance in the world. Years ago, I preached, you know, about some of the dangers to things that are killing fundamentalism. And one of those things is the desire of acceptance in the world. Hey, look, I'll be honest with you. I don't expect the world to accept what I'm preaching tonight.
No, sir.
I don't expect the world to accept it. I don't think they'll like it. Hey, guess what? They want me to tolerate them, but they will not tolerate what I'm preaching. They will not tolerate what I'm preaching. You do realize that in some areas of the world, preaching like this could get me arrested and fined. I mean, in the nation of Canada, you got to be very careful. Or you just got to realize, I'm going to be arrested. It's hate speech. Hate speech. Terrible thing, all right? So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. I'm saying this to you. Truth has died because of the sin of people.
Amen.
Can I say this to you? Not because of the sin of the lost. The problem in Jeremiah's day was the sin of God's people. The sin of God's people. God promised to preserve a land if there was a remnant serving him. He said, I'll preserve it. But it's hard to find that remnant anymore because we've let the truth slip away from us. I mean, preacher, don't preach like that. Don't preach that kind of thing. Hey, there's only one way to correct the situation, all right? There's one way to correct the situation. You say, what's that? Obedience. You see, the thing that brought it on is disobedience.
That's right.
So the way to correct it is obedience. Obedience. The whole pattern started when those who knew the truth and knew better began to casually and continually and consistently and constantly disobey God.
That's right.
Just disobey God. His book, though, still true.
Oh, yeah.
Yet the truth of the book hadn't changed. And the truth of our God hasn't changed. It still holds the only hope for this whole world. The Word of God. God thinks obedience is important. You said, how important? Well, he sent his prophet to look Samuel in the eye. Or send his prophet Samuel to look Saul in the eye and say to him, obedience is better than sacrifice. Saul said, man, I saved all these animals. We'll sacrifice them to you, God. God said, the only thing wrong with that is I told you to kill them.
Right.
And obedience is better than sacrifice.
Yeah.
Hey, you say, what do? We just need to make sure what we're doing is obeying God.
Yeah.
Just obeying God. Here's what we need to do. We need to take this book and line it up with our life
Come on. Yes, sir.
And see if we're obeying this book. Am I doing what God says for me to do? Forget, is it popular?
Amen.
Don't worry about, do people want it? And will people approve of me? Will it help me to win friends and influence people? Hey, forget that. Is it obeying God? Is this what God wants me to do? And then just do it. Just do it. And we build our life on the truth of the Word of God. We stand on that truth. And since this book is the truth, all right, then that word or that book ought to hold a special place in our lives. It shouldn't be an afterthought. It should be an emphasis. This is where the emphasis needs to be. Don't say, well, okay, we've had a good time now. Lord, what we did is okay, right? No, we need to consider before we do. Lord, is this going to satisfy you? Is this acceptable to you? Not does the world like it? No. Hey, let me say again. That bit of disobedience that we've gotten into a habit committing doesn't seem too bad. Doesn't seem that bad. Hey, preacher, it's not a big thing. Careful. Careful. When you were raising your children, you that are raising them, when is disobedience too much disobedience?
Come on. Amen.
Well, we're going to allow it 5 times today. But when you hit number 6, is that the way you do it? And when is disobedience become a big thing? I submit to you from the Word of God, there's no such thing as a little bit of disobedience.
Amen. No, sir.
Either we're obedient or we're not. But the trouble is, we begin to disobey God on some issue. And after a little bit of while, we don't think about it. We don't even think about it. We don't realize the damage we're doing to the truth. To the truth. Now, you've heard preachers say it who knows how many times. But this world, the only truth they're going to see is from us. The only Bible they're going to read is us. They're not going to go somewhere else, all right? They're not flocking to the bookstores and buying Bibles just to find out what the Bible says. Now, we live in a day where, hey, even the Christians don't seem to care what it says. So why does the unbeliever care what it says? We've gotten used to that little bit of disobedience. Can I say this to you? It's time for you and I to step up, step in line, and stay in line.
Amen.
And say, Lord, we're going to live by what you say. We're just going to live by what you say. If we don't, we're going to see truth die. We're going to see truth die. You and I are responsible. So how do we do it? We start obeying God.
Amen.
In everything. In everything. I'm afraid far too many people, they spend their life in Christianity seeing how much of God's word they can duck.
Right.
When I was a kid, we moved from Georgia to Florida, and I was in the second grade. And in the second grade in school in Georgia, we had this strange thing called recess. And during recess, you could get out and play and do whatever.
Amen.
There were dangerous slides to slide down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Even more dangerous monkey bars to swing
Amen.
On. Not only that, there was a merry-go-round. You could spin that thing fast enough, it'd throw you off of it.
Amen. That's right.
I mean, it was a dangerous place. Swing sets went way up high in the air. Terrible thing. But I moved to Florida. And I moved to Florida, and I found out they did something that I thought was strange. In the afternoon, they had this thing, and it was like recess, but they called it P.E. And they said, you got to come out here and play ball, softball. I'm going to be honest with you. I hated it. I dodged all of it I could. So what do you mean you dodged it? I mean, we'd go outside and I'd hide. I would hide. And there was a ramp leading down out of the building, and then you'd go left and go out in the ball field. I'd jump out of the building, nobody's around. I'd hop down over there where that ramp, and I'd hide right there in that little spot. Say, did it work? A lot of time it did. I hated it. I avoided all of that I could. I mean, everything I could like that, I avoided it as much as I could. Much as I could. But the only thing is, teachers figured me out. They began to realize, you know, where is he? Don't worry about me. I'm happy over here counting the bugs, running around on the ground, you know. I'm exercising my intellect. Don't worry. All right. And I avoided it. Well, here's the problem. We've got God's people today, and they're avoiding what God wants. And we kind of pick and choose what we want to obey. We go down the line, we say, well, that's okay, but man, I'm not doing that. If I do that, everybody in the world is going to think I'm a weirdo. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Look, we pick and choose. You can't do that. We're going to stop it. We're going to see to it. We don't let truth die. And we're going to have to be obedient to God.
Amen.
Just going to have to be obedient to it. And will you do it? Will you do it? Would you bow your heads, please? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask you this. Is there something going on in your life shouldn't be there? Oh, listen, anybody outside of a Bible believer wouldn't think a thing about it. You've got something going on, and nobody else would say a thing about it. Hey, maybe it's a language problem. You get mad and the curse word comes out, and you used to try to correct it, but now you say, nah, it's not that big a deal. Hey, I don't use the worst words. Maybe it's sad. Hey, I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's pornography. I said, preacher, this Sunday night crowd, I know. But I told you, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening. Maybe it's gossip. You just can't keep your mouth shut. You got to say something. You got to spread something. It doesn't matter if it's true or not, and you don't care, but just to tell something. Hey, I could go on and on and on. But the truth of the matter is, if you got something going on, you know it. You know it. You need to make it right. Now, you don't have to come confess it to me. You don't have to come and stand in front of this crowd, take the microphone and confess. But you need to make it right between you and God. If we're going to keep the truth from perishing, we're going to have to live in obedience to God. Now we're going to do that. Heavenly Father, help us tonight. Lord, help us to realize we have a responsibility to the truth. Lord, Israel lived in a day and Jeremiah preached in a day where they had decided the truth is not important. We're going to sin. We'll do whatever we want to. We'll do what we like. We're not going to listen to what God says. We'll not listen to God's man. And Lord, your word tells us that truth perished. Dear God, I don't want truth to perish in our day. But I see it getting destroyed. Lord, would you help us to do what we ought to do to preserve that truth? Help us, Lord. Help us to admit where we're wrong and make it right. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.